Chaim, and I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Chaim.
I guess we're gonna finish up step 5 and move into step 6. I think one of the crucial things to know about step 5 is that this is something that's a continuous, ongoing life experience. We said this a few times, but I think it's very important to reiterate. In the past, when I had a fear, I went to porn. When I had a resentment, I went to porn. When I felt hurt, I went to porn. When somebody hurt me, I went to porn. And if I didn't go to porn, I went other places, you know, strip clubs and what have you. Today, coming into program and recognizing my powerlessness and the willingness to give, to realize there's a power greater myself, and to give my will and my life over to the care of God is beautiful. And to recognize that in the past, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, somebody hurt me very badly, so I'm very resentful, or I have fear because of the past, or 10 years ago somebody harmed me, or I harmed somebody, or my sex conduct, I went into a strip club and I this and that. Whatever the scenario, the reason we go through the step 4 and 5 is to now bring it to today. That's the key goal. What happened, happened. What happened will never, ever, 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 ever happen again. The key is, how do I learn from all those past experiences to now bring it today? In the past, when my wife would get angry at me, I would feel, why did I marry such a loser? Like she's a loser. Like, don't you get who I am? And that would give me the entitlement to go out and lust and act out. If I came home and my wife wasn't wearing a sheitel, like, I'm not married to a loser. Like, what the hell? That would give me a right to then go onto my phone and watch porn. To recognize in my step 4, I was resentful towards my wife. Therefore, who is the person I'm resentful? My wife. Why am I resentful towards my wife? Because she doesn't wear a sheitel. What does that affect of me? It affects of me is my low self-esteem, my inadequacy. I feel less than, I feel like a loser, and I feel like all you guys, when you come home, your wives are in high heels, full face makeup, and looking ready to pounce on you. Because that's what I was taught in the movies. Even your way. And in my brain, that entitles me now to go watch porn. I need to learn from that experience, not, okay, so now the same thing happens today. What do I do with that experience? I'm resentful on my father because my father 10 years ago locked me up. Okay. My part, his part, very good. Now what do I do with that? How do I bring it to today? That's the key idea. And for me, was to learn in the process of all of this is now to be able to take all of that and recognize, okay, who was I back then? What caused me, what defects caused me to get hit so much? What defects caused me to watch porn? What defects caused me to lust? What defects are coming up for me when all of a sudden out of nowhere I go into fantasy? What I learned in program is that, no, it's not true. It's not that I'm just horny. It's not that I just have a high level of testosterone, which I have both. But it's not that only. It's because of a strong emotion, a strong power that's overcoming me, usually by a character defect, that now wants me to act out. I'm innocently in Four Corners. I'm innocently in a bagel store trying to buy clothing, and a gorgeous girl walks in. My brain always told me I'm horny, so of course I'm going to stare at her to see how high her skirt goes, or how large her breasts are, or everybody lefi their and hugas ha'ilam lefi what they appreciate. No, that's not what's going on. I'm on the way to work, and I'm angry at my kid because my kid missed the bus. That's the tenseness of wanting me to look. I'm angry because my wife didn't sing my praises as I walked out of the house. That's the cause. I need to believe this, otherwise I'm a dead man. If I'm just horny, I'm screwed. And it is the truth. I came to recognize this because when I'm calmer and I'm content and life is good and I'm drowned in recovery, these things don't hit me the same way. And I'll prove it to you. My wife could tell me something on a Monday after me coming back from a meeting, after being serene, after feeling good about myself, and I'll respond to her one way. On Tuesday, if I miss the meeting, or if I'm not drenched into recovery, or if I'm feeling fear and emotions and pains, I'll react to her an entire different way. She told me the exact same thing. Why am I reacting two different ways? The answer is one is driven by fear, one is driven by rage, one is driven by character defects, and one is serenity. The reality is we hear in meetings all the time, if I am drenched into recovery, usually the next word is not, and I took an action of lust. If I am drenched into recovery, usually the next words are, and I'm feeling really hopeful, I'm feeling great, and I'm feeling like this program really is going to work for me. It's usually that guy who's calling you up and says, okay, I'm not sure what's really going on. I missed 3 meetings this week, and I didn't do any step. I was supposed to call my sponsor. I'm lusting on the street. I'm not sure what to do. He just told you what to do. Get to meetings. He gave you the list of things what to do. That's usually, the fact is, again and again, what we take out of the 4th step, out of the 5th step, is now how to live life. Talking about Harvey, he gave me this rude awakening the other day. He told me, he goes, I just want to let you know, if you think you went through shit in the past, you haven't seen nothing yet. Life, there is pain. There is difficulties. There is sickness. There is confusion. There is trauma. It's how you react to it. It's not to get rid of it. Program doesn't say now you're not going to have, your kids will be beautifully well-behaved. You will have an endless amount of finances. That's not what program promises. Program promises that in the past, when I have financial fear, I watched porn and didn't work to make money. Program promises if you have financial fear, you can take that financial fear and recognize it comes from somewhere. You know where it comes from? If I don't make money, I think I am less than you. It comes from a place. I could identify where that financial fear comes from. I can now feel less inadequate. I can feel now less inadequate. I can feel absolutely good about myself. I can remind myself that it's God tapping me on the shoulder saying, Chaim, I love you. I want a relationship. And I can walk out of financial fear feeling good. So I don't have to go watch porn. It's not that my wife left to a meeting and my filter, I didn't have a phone that had a filter. I had a phone that didn't have a filter on, so I watched porn. That's not what happened. What happened was my wife left to a meeting and I'm already building up resentment in order to get the right to watch porn. I'm working already on fears 3 days before, knowing my wife's going on vacation to Florida, already starting the process. What step 4 and 5 gives me is all of a sudden, now that I know I'm powerless, now that I know there's a power greater than myself, now that I'm willing to go to any lengths to give up the right to lust and willing to be there and do the right next thing, now, okay, I'm ready, I'm willing. I signed up for the swimming lessons. I showed up by swimming. I'm talking about swimming. The 4th and 5th step now actually allows me to jump into the pool and start swimming. It's okay. I know I will go through financial fear today. I know I'm going to feel inadequate about around my father because I feel like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing and he's going to bankrupt my company. I know those feelings are going to come up. When I work those feelings, I'm okay. Point in case, a million times my father acted a certain way to me and I didn't respond. Yesterday, I had to drive into Harlem, out of all places. I spent 2 hours in a business meeting. Then I had to drive to Queens. I spent an hour there. Then I had to drive to my office in Brooklyn. By the time I got to my office, I had nothing left. What I needed to do, and what I learned from yesterday's experience, was I need to stop and take medication. Medication means I don't have a right to walk into my office. I need to pick up a phone and make a phone call. I need meds. I'm sick. I'm on empty. I'm spiritually bankrupt. What I did is, next, I run into the office, my father said something stupid, I said something back, and boom, before you know it, we're fighting for the first time in 2 months again. What it used to be 5 years ago is, my father's an idiot, I hate him, he doesn't respect me, what am I supposed to do about it? I can't get along. And if the sponsor doesn't really know what he's doing, he says, yeah, you need to put down boundaries, your father should never talk to you that way. True, good, he shouldn't. But what does that do for me? My wife shouldn't. The whole world shouldn't treat me the way they're treating me. Very good. Everybody should treat. Today, I learned from that experience. I have a part in it. I was spiritually bankrupt. Because on a random day, my father could talk to me that way, and I could say, Todd, do you want a drink? I could literally do that. I could take a deep breath and I could walk away. When I'm spirit, I could be in a meeting. It happens all the time. This is the best exercise. I could be in a meeting and somebody says something, and on one day, I'm literally, I don't know what to do with myself. Should be speaking explicit. He shouldn't. He should have shared. He shouldn't. He shouldn't raise his hand. He shouldn't go over time. The next day, everything can happen the exact same way, and I'm comfortable. I walk out of the meeting. I'm doing great. One is I'm spiritually bankrupt, and one, I didn't take my medicine, and one, I did. Yesterday, the beauty of step 4 and 5 was I was able to take finally a deep breath after the whole explosion. I was able to beat the shit out of myself, which I'm learning not to, because I laid it into my father. But later on that way, that I was able to make a phone call. Not a phone call, I was able to meet with somebody and I told them what I did wrong. I was able to take a deep breath. I needed to make a pishy when I came back to Lakewood finally after the whole day. I actually gave myself permission to take a break and do that. I ran to the bathroom in one of the shuls there. And I stood in the shul and there was nobody there. I was able to humbly say, God, take away my character defects. Let me be useful to the people in my life. It's not only about Chai. The transformation into the 6 and 7. We don't remain, now what I'm losing. I was able to say that to God in the Watzagol. And then right away, the next door was now a long Shemana Esrei in a Watzagol. And I was like, God, you know what I mean? I was able to just talk to him and tell him this is the things that is going on in my life. And then the beauty was, right after that, I walked out of shul, at a synagogue, I picked up the phone, I sent my father a 2-minute message, how I love him, and I'm sorry, and he should never hear from his son the voice that he heard, and it's wrong. And I was able to give up his response to this message. Today in the morning at 6:05, I see a 3-minute and 21-second message. I almost took my phone, threw it across the whole place. I was able to pray for him. I was able to show him the peace and serenity. I don't have to now go and watch porn. That's the end result. My boss acts like an ass. My friends act. My people in meetings. We all get disturbed by each other, whether we want to admit it or not. We hate each other's character defects. Like if there's one thing we hate worse about each other, is the character defects, because I'm being taught now by my sponsor and the people I take direction from that the reason now I'm seeing a lot of my character defects more than ever is because you spot it, you got it, and you're seeing it. You're seeing your character defect. To be able to make that transition, it's like a gift. It's a gift, step 4 and 5. So when that fear comes up, I can, again, like we spoke so many times, taking that manure and making it into fertilizer. The more manure you have, the better and more beautiful garden you have. So don't be ashamed of the smell and the defects and how it comes out and my sponsor. It's beautiful. The character defects will be turned into gold. So I guess that's the real fundamental idea. When there's a problem, picking up the phone, working through it, not just cursing the boss out, cursing the spouse out, cursing the friend out, but how do I transition it? How do I get into a spiritual world? How do I get into a more calmer world? I gain nothing by cursing out the Lakewood system. I gain nothing. My brother shared. It was so painful. This kid is not in school. Every fiber of my being with rage, like a tyrant. The only thing that's going to do is I'm going to sit and masturbate to naked people. That's the only thing that character, that anger is going to bring me. To stop and to pray for them, to pray for my brother, to ask him, could I be for there for him? The transition. That's the whole idea. So basically, that's my, 4th and 5th. If anybody's comfortable sharing 1 or 2 examples, it's really not the form for, doing a 4th or 5th step. But I would recommend even walking over just 1 second to any guy and just literally just sharing with him some cases of present where we find ourselves here, we find ourselves there, we find ourselves in a different situation where character defects are coming up, and instead of going to a place of effort, we used to have a saying in program, show the fuck it's, instead of going to that place, rather going to a place of spirituality, a place of how do I be of service. My son yesterday got a new pair of sneakers, and it's so funny. Think about how much resentments go on in my head. You wonder why I'm so always wanting porn. It's It's like I'm talking about it, and it's like, holy crap, I didn't even... My son got a new pair of sneakers, right? He has this new, beautiful pair. In school, you're not allowed to have anything but black. The laces came with blue. This kid has no shoes for tomorrow. He's going out of his mind, and it's like, right away, the fuck it's... The stupid... That's going to make the difference? The blue shoelaces? Take a deep breath. God, take away my character defects. Let me be humble to the system that I hate and abuse me to pieces. Let me just be there. Let me show my son the same alliance as the school, because so my son doesn't become who I became. You know what I mean? I don't know why you need to change it as well, but this is what the school says, and we follow direction. Finished. And then, yes, it's uncomfortable, and yes, it's painful. To be able to live, so then I don't have to go watch porn. I don't have to sleep around. I don't have to do all this shit.
What do you actually do in step five?
Step five is this process. You sit down with the sponsor and take it from, I'm resentful at my wife. I'm resentful at my boss. The reason for why I'm resentful. What it affects by me. The next part is, what is my part in it? And what is my exact nature of wrong? To sit there and transition. I lived my whole life and I hate you and you hurt me and I'm fearful of you. To take all of that and stop living in that world, but rather living in the world of, what's my part in it? How do I make it better? I have a party called happiness. If you want to join my party, be my guest.
My question is, you did all that in step four just without someone else. Is there anything that you do different in step five?
Step five is just repeat it over to another human being.
And God.
And God. Meet God and another human being in your own private comfort. And by just getting it out, finally being honest, like we read today in the morning, I can't meet God alone. It doesn't work. I tried it my whole life. In the mikvah, in the shul, it doesn't work. I need to meet God with another human being. And then I see myself for really who I am, and he can give me feedback, and he can tell me, no, you're miscombobulating it. And then all of a sudden you recognize all the character defects. I know my character defects like almost as well as all you guys by now. And now what I could do with all those character defects is now bring that to another person, to God, in my step six. Become humbly ready to have God remove my character defects. Step six and seven. And the beauty is it actually works. You walk away happy, joyous, and free. Yeah.
This morning I found myself having this very ingenious idea, like this whole like lustful fantasy. So like, where did that come from? Like, so I'm trying to think. Like, I wake up, I feel like shit. I think I'm fat. So because of that, that's why.
It could be, but
I'm thinking of the lust.
It's
fantasy.
A very good point, Ellie. It's a very good point. It could be yes. It could be no. We need to be very careful not to get into a therapy type of mahalach here. Therapy type of... When lust hits, God take the shit. Period. That's it. Just take it away. I don't have to go more than that. When I'm working... Correct. When I'm working my fourth step, in my tenth step, or in when I'm on a phone call later on in the day, I could ask myself simply, where did that come from? Oh, I'm feeling inadequate. I feel like I have a huge stomach now, so I don't know what to do with myself. Could be that's where the lust came. God, take away this inadequate feelings. Period. Journaling, writing, steps, and
what,
calling.
Step five?
Yeah, because you told it over to somebody else, and you brought it back to yourself, and you owned up for it. But now the beauty is, for example, right, I'm walking around now for months saying I'm overweight. Months and months and months and months and months, right? Until you get, like, hit in the head enough times, right? All of a sudden, at one point, I was like, maybe I could use the program on this. Maybe I could actually, like, it all of a sudden hit me. God help me. I'm powerless. I don't have to be a food addict. But I could use just the tools and simply ask God. And every day now, I'm simply asking God. I love Danishes. I love a Danish, a effing Danish. I feel like I'm having sex with it. With a coffee and a Danish. It's like, God, take it away from me. I could be okay without the Danish. To keep it dumb and simple. Basically, there's a way out from that dark hole. There's a way out, but not to get detailed, not to get all must be the reasons and the genes, and keeping it dumb and simple.
And what happens if you have to start having withdrawals from your Danish or whatever?
You keep on. I had it yesterday. I literally did. I literally did. I promise. I bought myself some food on the way. God, take it away. Very simple. We actually have God in our life. It's a weird thing. We don't talk about God. We don't find him in shul. We don't talk about him on the... We actually have God in our pocket. We have him. You could talk to him. You could say, God, take it away, and he will.
I understand, but that's like surrender. That's a surrendering.
The whole program is one big surrender.
But it's not as detailed and as whatever.
The fourth step is the fourth step. The fifth step is the fifth step. And then there's the relationship you keep on having with God.
How important is it to me to find my part? Like, this guy's making noise in the back.
Yeah, it's the most, honestly, it's the most important thing.
People like, so let's go through
this case scenario. You're okay?
Yes.
Right? I'm resentful while I'm here trying to give a what's it called again? There's people in the back talking.
In the library, I go crazy.
Right?
The library. Here they're allowed to schmooze.
Who said they're allowed to? How do you know that? That's exactly what fourth step does.
The library.
What fourth step does is they're wrong, I'm right. That's what we do before fourth step. Who said that? And then goes the confusion. Maybe they are a letter. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're... Fourth step says, let's stop for a second and figure this out. Am I powerless of them talking? Do I believe God could restore me to sanity with the feelings I have? Am I willing to go to any lengths to get those feelings removed? Yeah. Okay. I am resentful towards a group of people talking while I am giving a workshop.
What's my part?
What does it affect?
I can't concentrate. What is that effect?
Okay, so your emotions.
Emotions, yeah.
Okay. Your ambitions, your self-esteem.
Who do you think you are to diss me like that?
Right, so you feel attacked. You feel belittled. You feel less than.
Personal relationships.
Personal relationships, very good. Inadequate. These are feelings that come up for me. Less than. The hell would you be?
Part?
Why would you be busy putting on film when I'm giving a workshop? You retarded? That's what comes up for me, right? When I was in your place in recovery, I never did it.
I never went for it.
Right? So now, what's my part in it? First thing to recognize is I have low self-esteem. Stop for a second, Chaim. Is there any amount of people that could be in your workshop that's going to make you comfortable? For me, I'm doing my workshop. No. If I had 100 people, I would want 110. It's never enough. My void will never be filled. That's the first thing. Secondly, Chaim, you spot it, you got it. You're telling me that there aren't times in meetings when somebody's sharing that you're bowling around with the guy next to you? He's in the middle of giving his everything. You never walk out of the middle. You never honestly wall... Now thinking about it, my own sponsor gave a workshop, I never even showed up. By the way, that came from a resentment. Because it was my idea that he took it. So instead of processing it, I said, fuck it. I never showed up to one of his workshops. That did a lot of good for me. That's a point case scenario. If I would have worked through it, I wouldn't have been able to go to my sponsor's workshop for what's it called. That's the point. You hear?
Bring it back to yourself.
Bring it back to myself. What's mine? What?
What's my part that I'm trying to control other people's behavior?
Yeah, but more than you're trying to control their behavior, you're part in it. First of all, most of the time, if you spot it, you got it.
So what?
Instead of trying to change them.
Don't change you. Don't change them. I can never change anybody else.
But once I change, in other words...
Once I change, if I sit there and recognize what's my part in it, my part in it is that I feel inadequate. That's my issue. That's not theirs. You know how I know? Because if I was here giving this workshop 7 years ago and that was going on, I would be enraged. I would be going up there. I would be telling everybody. I would be, blah, 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 blah. I'd be eating them for supper.
Maybe you'd be able to focus more. Today, if you weren't focused on them, you were focused on you.
Right. Like Harvey taught me, maybe I should move my seat over there. Maybe I should ask everybody to come here. Maybe I could go over to one of the two guys over there and recognize that they feel intimidated. And maybe that's why they're not joining the fellowship, and they don't know what to do to themselves because everything sounds like Chinese. So just walk over to a guy and give him a beer and tell him it's okay. If you want, I could do your fourth step with you. Instead of right away giving the efforts, the same thing in like synagogue when you see somebody talking, our first thing is, shh, shut up. As opposed to, you don't know what's going on there. Bring it back to yourself. Say a prayer for the guy. Calm yourself down. Recognize... Nobody It's the most uncomfortable words in the 12 and 12 in the big book. Nobody could hurt my feelings, emotions, my security if I'm stable. Nobody could get that power over me. And for example, after the meeting yesterday, right, Ellie shared, right, and then Rafal said, Michelle said something, and they were talking to each other. So one guy came over to me, like, what's my name? You're an old time to go over there, try to, like, set up. It didn't even dawn on me to go over there. Now, this guy remembers me from yeshiva days. He's like, Chaim, come on. It hit me. It didn't even dawn on me to, like, get involved in trying to work. It didn't even dawn on me. The only thing I tried to do, because I love Ellie, I said, Ellie, what works for me is just say, okay, I hear you. And then let it go. If he decides to say that, if he doesn't decide, to bring peace and serenity in the world. When I turn around to those guys, shh, can everybody be quiet? Shh, stop, shh. What am I doing? Am I bringing peace, love, serenity, happiness?
I'm making more noise.
My wife tells me that. Your shh is louder than the kids talking. You know, relax. So then I get resentful at her. She said a message to me, shut up. And if you're angry at her, look what's happening. You're angry at the kids, you're angry at her. Who's the common denominator? To constantly bring it back to myself. Even when other people are wrong, the fourth step says, I can't afford to have a resentment. I can't afford it. It doesn't work for me.
How do you find what's wrong in you?
That's why you say it over to somebody else and they tell you.
If I'm in this room, for example, and here this is the case in point, but it doesn't bother me one bit, one iota, that there's the things going on. Not even one bit, right? But Yanko's getting very annoyed about it. Right? So obviously, you know, whether or not what the person's doing is wrong or right, this happens in every case and every, you know, step of my fourth step. There's something about me that's getting really riled up, that's bringing me to the next level with it.
Beautiful.
You know, that's
right.
You know, and so what in Yanko, you know, is driving him crazy? What about my brother-in-law that he's arrogant? Why does it affect me that he's arrogant? It doesn't affect you that my brother-in-law is arrogant, right? So there's something in me that's you know, that's my part. That's why it's affecting me more than it affects you.
And that's the fifth step. By talking that over with somebody, you don't know. How should you know? For 20 years, you're living your life just resenting, fearing, and doing whatever. Today, you have an opportunity to ask somebody, what is my wrong? This is what happened. This is what I'm resentful. Tell me my part. When you do that 1,000 times, you end up realizing what your part is, and you start making it just a part of your life. At home, all the time, I have cases, scenarios where all of a sudden I turn around and I said, remember when I told you that wasn't really the honest truth, because what was really going on inside of me was blankety blank. Because I all of a sudden recognize. Now we're sitting here, we could be resentful of the guys that are talking, there could be people in the meeting resenting Yanko for shushing. And there could be other people resenting other people in the meeting for not shushing. And we could all be in a meeting in a spiritual state and we're all not here. The beauty is if we all bring it back to ourselves and we all take a deep breath and we all say, all humans, we all have character defects. What is my part in it? We could start working through things to be able to just be happy, joyous, and free. That is the whole idea. And the only way it works is by writing it out. You know how I know? Because that's what I'm told. Not because I agree with it or don't agree with it, but if that's what I'm told, that's what I need to do. Just write it out, and then you sit down with somebody else and you tell it to him over. And by simply doing that, you're free.
One of my resentments against people in general is that people don't communicate well, or that people, they always misunderstand me, and it always drives me crazy, it pisses me off. Like this morning I went to Starbucks and I told them what I wanted, and they gave me the wrong thing. So what I'm finding is that so many people misunderstand me because I don't know how to communicate.
I'm the one
who doesn't communicate well. If so many people always misunderstand me, then it could be that I'm not a good communicator.
Right, and the beauty is he can live the rest of his life cursing out every person he comes in contact with.
I do.
And in pain, or he could stop and say, hey, let me learn the skills of how to communicate better, and all of a sudden the world looks better. It's basically, I have, in short, an effed up brain. That means I have glasses that are scratched up, fogged up, dirtied up. And that's how I view the world. Correct. And what I do in my fourth step is I start cleaning it. Hey, I see that, but hey, that makes more sense. That's why There needs to be respect for the old timers. That's why, not because they actually see things different. They actually understand. So when Harvey says something, I do care what he says. He actually has very clean glasses.
See, in my mental exercise, mental masturbation, I would tell Ellie that the resentment is really, it's not his fault that he can't communicate. God
so
gave
our,
him the ability.
Correct.
Like
in our step one,
communicate.
We say that I'm powerless.
It's not his fault.
In step one, I say
he
I'm powerless.
My fault.
No, but you want to find where I was wrong. What part do I have in it? If I can't communicate, that's not my problem.
I know, but he's sitting in the rest of his life being in a bad place.
But I believe that being restored to sanity means that I could learn how to communicate.
Right. That's why I was saying my step one. My step one is I'm powerless. I can't communicate.
Okay.
But there is a power greater than myself that can teach me how to communicate. You could ask Ellie. He'll know it the best. That was a sly comment. I couldn't read coming into program. I could not read the literature.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
I couldn't read.
Right.
That's not my fault. Yeah, but life sucks when you can't read. I like watching porn. It's not my fault. I was shown it at 9. Life sucks walking around in porn. Make changes. I could have a happy, joyous, free life.
Yeah, you can order black.
No, I won't share my part. when I'm concentrating fully, it doesn't bother me.
Mm.
So I'm just being lazy. I don't want to have to concentrate too hard.
Beautiful. Go to ever.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we got everybody's answers, but it's done. We're good?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. Let's close it out.